With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
New Orleans street performer who dresses up in a Chewbacca outfit is wanted by the police after stabbing someone with a knife in the city's usually tourist-friendly French Quarter. Police say that just before 9 o'clock, the person who dons the outfit of the massive Star Wars character got into an argument with someone else that concluded with that person getting stabbed. Police did not release information on the victim's condition. However, they don't know who is in this Chewbacca outfit.
So but they're no familiar idea, really. With him as Chewbacca because he's a guy, I guess he was regularly out there. So like we know who he is as a character because the tourists love him for obvious right. reasons. But now he stabs some damn body, and we don't know where he is, and we realize we don't know who he is. And shockingly, Chewie has not returned since then.
I wouldn't even think, even if he didn't have a mask on. Like for example, the Marilyn Monroe that we smoked weed with in Hollywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
If someone said, okay, there's a Marilyn Monroe out there person, and she's responsible for a heinous crime, whatever it is. There are 10 Marilyn Monroes out there. You know what I mean?
But the other thing is this.
I don't know if I'd be able to, you know.
She's Marilyn Monroe. She is dressed as Marilyn Monroe. She's on the Hollywood Strip, whatever. We start talking to her. Hey, you want to smoke some weed? She's like, hell yeah. So we smoke weed. We hung out with her for like hour and a half, whatever. We saw her the next day. She did not have on her Marilyn Monroe wig or the getup. And we did not recognize her.
Couldn't even tell
her. She had to re-enter. So even if I saw her commit the crime, right, in the car, and I go like, yeah, man, I'm pretty sure I know who this is. If she walks back to the scene of the crime in plain clothes, would have no idea.
Right. And basically, there was this guy. He was, I'm going to say he was the owner of this bar that we were in.
Oh, he was the owner.
He drives up in this Mac Daddy, I mean, just amazing car. And he's got like this dog in the front seat, man. The dog's got his like own little, you know, like seat thing, right?
Yeah.
So the dog's in there. I'm like, oh, man, I'm outside smoking or whatever. And he's just like, hey, what do you think of the bar? And I'm like, oh, man. I was like, we love this bar. We've been in here like 3 days in a row.
It's the biggest asshole on Hollywood Boulevard. We love it.
We love it. It's great. You know, we're having an awesome time in there. He's like, well, how are you guys? Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. You know, Seattle, whatever. And he says, how's your time down here? I'm like, it's great. I mean, only thing we wish is we could find some weed. And he's like, I'll be right back. So he comes back and he just says, open your hand. And he gives me this nug. And I mean, it was the dankest green. So I put it in my pocket.
By the way, this dude is like 70 years old.
So I put it in my pocket. We go down to this other bar because we're going to get a hamburger or whatever. That's where she was sitting getting some lunch. And she just smelled it on me. It wasn't like we offered, like, hey, man, you want to get high, Marilyn? She was just like, Jesus Christ, dude, you reek. And I'm like, yeah, it's in my pockets. It's dang stuff.
Old man gave it to her.
She comes up smoking. She's like, okay. And we're like, all right, we're off. Good or bad?
And that's how it's done. Yeah.
Did she eat the burger first?
I think she ate a burger.
Yeah.
She was eating lunch. Yeah.
Our question, good or bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-RON.
I've only had one experience with the Marilyn Monroe, and I hope to never see her again.
Oh, God, that's right. The one, the stripper that was sent to sing you happy birthday.
It's Singing Graham, wasn't it? Full-on stripper.
Okay, Singing Graham. And she's singing, what, like, happy birthday in the style of happy birthday, Mr. President.
Correct.
But instead of Mr. President, from your mom.
Right.
God, dude.
I heard all about it again last weekend.
Oh, that is the worst. Hey, by the way, we got an update. If you do get your pet cremated, because like I said, I'm convinced that the box in my closet is my dog and like 15 others. I'm hearing from multiple sources, people that work for the cremation companies. They say, look, in Washington, at least, It's just your animal.
Oh, okay.
They do one animal at a time.
I will never, man.
That's good to know, man.
So, in Fremont, there was there's a funeral home with a crematorium. All right. And I have not seen them as active. I don't think they've since demolished the building.
Okay.
But at any rate, they would do their cremations on the weekends on Saturday and Sunday early in the morning. So at that point in time, I was beating pavement and running all the time. So I got up and I'm running and I'd see the poofs come out all the time. Right. You know what I mean?
Like, that's people.
You'd see the poof. Well, of course, the Fremont Bridge goes up. So now I'm stuck there, but I can still look across and there's a funeral home. So I'm standing there. There's another guy standing there with me. And I mean, this poof of black smoke went up like I have never seen come out of there. And the guy looked at me and he was Fremont resident as well. He's like, I don't know what the hell they just burned in there, man, but that was a large individual.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable how much smoke was coming out of there. And then, of course, it starts drifting your direction. I don't know if you understand the smell of a charred body, but it is not something that you want.
Does it just smell like a charred body?
It smells somewhere between burned tires. It's just oil burning, maybe. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, God.
Remember, there was a crematorium. This was a couple of years ago in England. I don't know if it was London, but the crematorium caught on fire because one of the people who they were cremating was of exceptionally larger carriage, and the fat from the guy actually spread, but it lit the crematorium on fire.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost chemicals, but it's not. It's just, I mean, it's unmistakable. It's like nothing you've ever smelled before.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like it that way. I never want to walk into like a restaurant and go like, Miles, this reminding you of the crematorium? You know, it's one of those things.
Good or bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. I didn't realize that the Mr. Penis Face had such a cult following.
Yeah, apparently it's a cult.
Yeah, ours was kind of like the Gonzo. Anyways, I guess I'd be responsible for a hit and run scare, if you will.
I mean, if you will, it's either a hit and run or almost hit and run or a hit and stop.
Well, let me explain here. It wasn't a real person here. We back in high school, back in the Jackass days, we thought it'd be funny to do some shock factor pranks and put together a dummy out of our old clothes and ride around and we stop at lights or stop signs where there's a crosswalk and a big crowd and a couple of people get out of that seat with the dummy and start beating it up, jumping it, and putting it against the hood like, you know, we were just fighting a friend or something, you know. Well, one of these instances we took off, but someone didn't grab the dummy and put it back in the car with us and just kind of left it on the hood and we drove over it through the green light and oh no, so we wanted to go back and get it, so we doubled around the block there, and as we're coming back around the block, we noticed there's a couple of cars kind of cutting off kind of blocking off the lane of traffic because they thought that it was a real person in the middle of the road. So we kind of hang back for a little bit and see what's going to happen. People are getting out of their cars. No one's going up to the dummy because it's face down. They think it's a dead body in the road or an injured body. Not even 3 minutes later, the ambulance rolls up, fire truck rolls up, and you know, they stop, block the traffic, and they pull out the stretcher and start walking over there and then lift up the arm and realize it's a dummy.
And what is the reaction when they realize it? Are they angry?
the lookers on are pretty angry. The fire people look pretty angry too because they kind of just chucked it off to the side of the road in the bushes and looked around. We were off in the distance. They didn't see us. But,
that is
probably a good call.
That is actually pretty funny.
You probably should have just, you know, like the final move should have been stuffing it in the trunk. You know, lifting up the truck and just jamming the body in there and then peeling off.
Exactly. That's how some of them were. You know, some of the instances were. This time just kind of, he got left behind and that was the end of his days. But,
okay.
All right. Yeah, we didn't go back for him for that.
That is
not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought you were like going to, you know, like confess to a crime.
That's what I was worried about too. When he started that, I was like, please don't. We don't want to hear it.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's not so bad. And look, that stuff works, man. The American Girl dolls or whatever. My daughter's like 2 years old. I told everyone, please. Please do not buy her one of these things because they are so expensive. Not just the doll, but all the crap they sell you afterwards, right? No one listens to parents, so they buy the doll. Anyway, the doll looks like her. She left that thing face down on the hallway floor one night. And just what I see is she didn't do it on purpose. You know what I mean? She hasn't changed either. But the doll is face down in the hallway. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to bed. And I cannot explain the adrenaline rush that you have when you think your child has either dropped dead or there's something severely wrong. And I remember racing up to that thing, realizing it's the American Girl doll. And I didn't, like, I felt relief that it was not my kid, but then oddly, I wanted to go kill my kid all at the same time.
Yeah.
My hands, dude, I'm like, my hands were shaking even when I woke up the next morning. Like, my hands were still shaking just to have that visual and have that thought and have that belief. And I'm like, this goddamn doll. So the only thing I told her, that doll does not leave your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You do not lay it face down anywhere. I never want to see that goddamn doll again. I don't even know where it is now.
It doesn't matter. You get a catalog every 6 months.
I bought my
daughters when they were like 12 and 13 years old. I mean, they're grown adults now.
I still get the American, and it's not a small catalog, by the way.
No.
This is a big-ass catalog.
Like, oh, I know.
It's big, and I still get it. It still gets sent to my house. Like I've been purchasing something, you know, every single year. I did one thing, like, 12, 13 years ago, and they continue to send me that catalog.
You would think, even if they just
my name on it.
Based
it
by the years. Like, right. No matter who you bought this for, they're probably out of that phase. That catalog does not make it in the house now. If it's in the mailbox, thing hits recycling.
Yeah, I bought something from there for my niece years ago. Same thing.
Yeah.
I got that catalog for years.
It's insane.
Good or bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Dick. Welcome to the men's room.
You mean Nick?
Nick.
Oh.
Look,
there
dude,
you go.
I'm not going to lie to you. It says Dick. I haven't felt weird saying it, but I'm like, well, it's the guy's name, and it's not even your name.
Oh, man.
So now you know how Mike feels about you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Well, Nick, you never heard that rhyme with your word before, your name before.
No. It's taking me right back to where my story's from, actually.
Okay.
Junior high. Really quick, by the way, you reminded me, I did save someone's life. I was a lifeguard. I saved someone's life in the 3-foot section of a pool at the YMCA.
The 3-foot section, which don't stand up.
Yeah, no, it was a larger, older person that was in an aqua aerobics class, and she was fiddling with her water shoe, and she like went down on her butt. And, I mean, it was like just over her head, and I kind of like sitting there laughing at first, and then I realized, oh no, she's
going. So you're basically saying there was someone taking a water aerobics class that could not swim.
Yeah, well, she had like a little like noodle behind her, but that wasn't going to keep her up. I mean, she went down and she was like sitting and she couldn't pick herself up. And stuff. I just went in there and like lifted her up by her, you know, armpit.
Yeah, that would have been very embarrassing. You don't want to go that way. With a pool noodle, 3 feet of water.
She died sitting down.
I know you can drown in an inch of water, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, but I called in because I'm responsible for my entire 7th grade homeroom not getting to go on the end of year big trip because I stole a teacher's edition textbook.
And so the whole class?
What's the answers?
Oh, the answers are in that one.
So, and I didn't even do it for that. It was like one of those, remember in junior high, like I didn't have to bring in the textbook every day. It was like on the days you were supposed to bring it in, the teacher made you hold it up. And if you didn't bring in your book, you got like a little mark. And if you got too many marks, she would give us detention.
Sure.
And I was well behind on marks. And I had like, it was like my junior high. So I had like a minor subject in the same classroom earlier in the day. And I saw the book just sitting there and I knew I didn't have mine. So I just went and grabbed it just to not get, you know, marked down for not having it. I didn't even realize it was a teacher's edition, and she lost her ass when she realized that it was gone. And she made such a stink about it, and it was like she made it too scary for like really believe that I could return it without getting in trouble. So I just hung on to it, and she held the whole class accountable. And so she was like, all right, well, we had a big end of year class trip to Action Park. I grew up on the East Coast. And so it was Action Park. My mom wasn't going to let me go anyway because she didn't think I could go there without getting myself in trouble with my friend. And so I wasn't losing out on anything. So I just kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
And then his phone dropped.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask him where Action Park is. Sounds like a fun place to go.
It does.
It does.
It's where the action is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, right, I'm 40. If somebody's like, you want to go to Action Park?
Yes.
Damn right I do.
Yes, yes.
God, I forgot about the teacher's editions books. And, you know, now that I'm older, I'm like, technically, shouldn't you not have the answer? Shouldn't you know this? I mean, you're the one teaching it, man. Anyone can teach it if I got the answer in front of me, right? Yeah. Ted, I'm just being ticky-tacky because I'm a douchebag. I completely understand, but in theory, they should.
I'm just imagining trying to grade like 30-some papers and having to, like, is that correct? Is that not correct?
I tried in fourth grade, right? We had math homework. I never did homework, but on this day, Mr. Doyle, my teacher, specifically walking around to each and every student to take. Usually you would just turn it all in at once, but he went to each desk to grab it. And I knew that the homework assignment, we just had to do page 49 of the textbook, okay? So as he starts collecting, he starts on the opposite side of the class, and I'm like, ah, crap, man. So slowly and quietly and carefully, I tore the page out, knowing my excuse would be, hey, man, when I opened the book, it wasn't there. You know, there was nothing for me to do. So he gets to my desk, and Stephen, do you have your homework? And I open my book to the page that's gone, and I point, and I'm like, I was going to do it, man, but like, that page is missing. Yo, Stephen, these are brand new textbooks from this year. I never had a new textbook.
You feel so slick when you're doing it.
To this day, I can just the amount of shame I felt when he called me out, man. Like, I still feel it now. This is like 38 years ago, and I'm like, I feel so bad.
So I did a little Google here for Action Park, and the first article that comes up is the rise and fall of Action Park, New Jersey's most dangerous water park.
Oh.
Quickly earned the infamous nickname Accident Park.
Oh, Jesus.
I like the first description of this one. One extreme ride was the Alpine Slide, which has been described as essentially a giant track to rip people's skin off that was disguised as a kid's ride. See, that was the thing I was telling you that I wanted to try. I wanted to be on one of those things. But I guess it's not around anymore, but yeah.
Did they close it down because of the number of...
Oh, they got a tidal wave pool there, too. Yeah, that's... those things are fun.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Barely, you saved your class's
life.
The
rise and fall.
Action Park. I'm still with you, though.
I'm going.
We got to make that a nickname for some sporting, you know, man, like some sporting stadium. Like, oh, you're going down to Action Park.
By the way, people are chiming in about Action Park. It says it was a real dangerous place. Johnny Knoxville made a movie about it because it was a ghetto amusement park. Multiple people died at Action Park. There's a documentary on HBO about Action Park.
Get out of here.
Dude, how's about?
I'd still go just because now the scariness is real. You know, like, it's one thing to be scared going down a roller coaster. It's another thing to think, I might die. Then it's real, real, real scary.
Real scary.
Yeah, like, five people have died on that ride. Now, this is going to be crazy.
Well, it depends how many people have ridden it. Six.
Yeah.
Then you go, okay, maybe not.
Good or bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-ROCK.
His mom was worried about him getting in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
26 serious head injuries, 14 fractures, 3 Whoa. Deaths on the Alpine Whoa. Slide. Yeah, good times.
Good stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, when I was in high school, I was a juvenile delinquent like a lot of people, especially growing up in Bothell where it was empty and there was nothing to do yet. So what we would do is on Halloween, we would go around and steal people's pumpkins, and somebody would ride in the bed of a truck and throw them at people's garages because it made this fantastic booming noise and scared the crap out of everybody.
Sure.
So I was throwing one, and I went a little bit too aggressive, and it went past the garage and through a bay window.
Oh, no.
And then fast forward to several years later, I'm telling my now wife this story about how I threw a pumpkin through a bay window, and I'm cracking up, and she gets this long face and says, oh, my God, that happened to my high school cross-country coach.
In Bothell?
In Bothell. And then she brings me to meet her because she was still friends with her, and she had just started college, so she hadn't been out of high school for very long. She brings me to meet her, and I tell her, hey, look, you know, a long time ago, a pumpkin went through your window. I threw it. And she was so nice about it that I felt even worse.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wanted to, like, crawl under a rock. She was so cool. She laughed and said I was just a dumb kid. And I felt like scum of the earth because she was so cool about it.
That's probably why she did it.
That's exactly
right. Kill him with kindness.
That's exactly
right. Oh, that's okay. And it only cost $12,000 to repair because it was custom double pane. Don't worry about it. You dumb little kid. And you know, the piece of flying glass actually hit my infant and nicked his arm. It was our first trip to the emergency room.
Dude, I told you, we went from eggs to mailbox baseball to just getting in a three-point stance and knocking over mailboxes.
Yeah.
And I could still see the horrified look on that toddler screaming. It's like, knocked over that mailbox.
Oh, my goodness.
My favorite story of a kid being grossed out was Miles. I was not with him. When you spit and it hit that restaurant.
Oh, it hit the restaurant window. Like that. And it was raining and it turned over. It was a big greenie. And it stuck like a wacky wall walker and just slid. And he's pointing at it like, ah! I've got to read you this excerpt because now I'm going to watch this freaking documentary. The most infamous of the rides at Action Park was the Cannonball Loop, an enclosed water slide with a complete vertical loop.
According to legend, when park owners sent a dummy doll in a test run of the ride, it came back with no head. Gene Mulville offered his employees $100 to test out new rides, including the Cannonball Loop. And despite employees winding up with bloody noses and bruises, he opened the ride anyone.
Damn.
Wow. I mean, wow. They never quite perfected that ride. A water slide with a loop.
Right.
Think about how fast you would have to be going. How do you keep the water on top? You don't.
You don't.
Oh, my God.
That's why the dummy lost its head.
Action Park was finally closed in 1996.
Jesus.
Tidal wave pool killed a ton of people.
Oh, my God. How many people died in the pool?
I don't know. Seems like a lot. Okay, good or bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
Coming up, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. Our question, good or bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, it's funny, you're talking about Action Park,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the guy called up and said he was supposed to go to Action Park, but he stole the wrong textbook. And
couldn't go.
Yeah, the whole class.
And then all these people started texting again, saying, dude, they have a documentary. And then you started reading up on it. Sounds like basically an entertaining death trap. Then people are like, if I'm not mistaken, Steve Miggs has been there. He's talked about it. You guys should talk to Miggs, blah, blah, blah.
We got his phone number. You're not going to believe that. How about that?
So, hey, Steve Miggs, welcome to the men's room.
Yay!
Yeah!
What the hell is this place?
Dude, well, I watched the documentary, and I was like, did my parents try and kill me? I didn't think anything was weird about this place growing up, because this was just like, Action Park was Disneyland to us. We looked forward to, I mean, it was the place to go. Like, we would go multiple times during the summer, and everything about that documentary is 1,000% true. It was just when you were a kid, we didn't know anything better.
Yeah.
So the whole time, I'm watching people nearly die, and I'm like, this is awesome.
Did you, looking back, do you think you almost ever died? Like, apparently the wave pool killed people. The test dummy got its head ripped off.
The first patron death occurred here in 1982 at the Tidal Wave Pool. Another visitor drowned in the Common Water Park attraction 5 years later. I mean, every one of these rides looks like it's put someone in the hospital, at least. The Tarzan swing.
The Tarzan swing was scary, though. It wasn't so much the swing itself. It was the fact that they never bothered to clear anyone underneath the swing. So you would swing out, and you would just hope that they're not, like, multiple bodies in the water. Because, like, you would land, and you'd have to hurry the hell up to get out of the way before you got hit by another human being that's flying over your head.
Steve, how far away was it from you, right? Because you're in the city.
Yeah, it was in New Jersey, so it was, like, not that far. I mean, you know, depending on traffic, but it was, like, maybe, like, an hour or so away. But we used to, like, collect soda cans, because, like, Coca-Cola cans, if you had X amount of cans, you can get, like, a discounted price to get in.
Then you know what's quality.
You'll love this. I sold my old bass. He gave me his bass. I sold his bass so I could get tickets to go to this death trap. Like,
damn, man. What was your favorite ride there?
You know, I think I loved, like, the Roaring Rapids, which was also just a free-for-all. They put you in, like, one of those, like, tubey things, and there was no rhyme or reason. It was just, like, bumper tubes, yes, as you're going down the rapids. People would flip over. It was great.
This was a standard raft-based whitewater ride, they said. Reports of the park filled the state in 1984 noted fractured femurs, collarbones, and noses, dislocated knees and shoulders.
The other one, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like a giant water slide. And it was steep. So you'd go down, and every once in a while it had like that giant speed bump. And you would leave
you would leave the surface. So you're going like, I don't know how fast, but as a kid, it felt like you were going 100 miles per hour. You're probably going like 20 miles per hour, but you would hit that bump and then it was just straight up air and you're just like flailing, arms are going everywhere and you'd land, bruise your tailbone. And what would you do? I want to get back on that. Yeah, it was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I think it's called Geronimo Falls was the name of it. One of them. And then diving cliffs as well.
Jesus.
23 feet high.
There was one ride that my dad never took us. It was my mom and her friend. They would take us, and I guess they just like wanted to see if we would like come back to them ever. But they said the only ride we couldn't go on was the cannonball slide, which was like that giant circular tube slide.
The cannonball loop. Yeah, the cannonball loop. Similar to a roller coaster, they say.
No, it's not similar to a roller coaster because it's a goddamn water
slide. But it's got a complete vertical loop in a water slide.
Is that the one that ripped the head off the test dummy?
Yes, correct, yes.
And so they still opened it.
Steve, your mom took you but was smart enough to be like, you're not getting on this ride?
So that was the one ride she actually cared. She's like, that looks dangerous.
You had
and the reason being is we heard someone got stuck in it, and that's why she was like, yeah, never going on that one.
Yeah.
Were you guys aware that people had died in this water park?
No. Like I said, this felt like a really safe attraction to us because we didn't know any better. And there's a part in the documentary that's great because I was in that room. It's like, you get hurt, and they're like, it was like 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds that were like running this place, it felt like. And they're like, okay, bring him to the room so he can get quote-unquote medical attention. They'd bring in this room. There's like a weird circle on the floor. You'd stand in that circle, and they'd spray you with that awful, I don't even know what it was.
Riders were weighed down with water, instructed to remove jewelry, and then carefully instructed on how they had to position their bodies to complete the ride.
Dude, we were being interrogated. We didn't even know it.
And they also got busted for having kids run these rides that weren't trained and qualified and were underage.
Good God, that
was one of the things they got busted for on their safety things. Our buddy Jay just sent me a text that said Alice in Chains did their Headbangers Ball at Action Park, and they are in the documentary as well.
Yes, and I think that's on YouTube. You can find it. But they just took over Action Park, and it's a complete S show. It's exactly what you expect with the Alice in Chains guys.
God almighty.
The worst one I got was the Alpine slide. I did it, but that was one of those ones where it was like you'd go up like a ski lift, you'd get on. It was like a luge type of a thing, and it was just straight up asphalt, and it was hot. And it was inevitable that you would fly off of this thing. You take a turn weird, and you just start, you would just tumble, and you scrape up your entire body while burning your skin because the asphalt was so hot.
And this was fun to you.
According to state records, in 1984 and 1985, the Alpine slide produced 14 fractures and 26 major head injuries.
Jesus Christ. Action Park.
Yeah. Golly. Oh, that's
the more I hear this, the more now when people look at me like, oh, you do the wrestling thing, you play hockey, I'm like, I guess I'm just a glutton for punishment. No, Action Park for that.
You survived Action Park. Yeah. You can do anything.
That was your training.
It was.
Good God, man.
But watching that documentary, my wife was even like, you went here? I'm like, no, it wasn't like just once. We went here all the time. That was our spot.
Oh, man. I bet she was horrified. Yeah.
Her jaw to the ground. She's like, I get you even more now.
Oh, my God.
I think I'll be watching the documentary this week, and I didn't realize how intriguing this place was, man.
One former employee described it as death awaits the Alpine slide. The chutes and sleds traveled were concrete, fiberglass, and asbestos, which led to serious abrasions to the riders that even took mild falls.
Jesus.
The only thing on the documentary I can't speak on because I wasn't living that world was like there's, I guess, frequent sex amongst the employees, like just sneaking off and just doing stuff. But everything about the rides and the insanity of that park is so dead on. The documentary nailed it. And the more you watch the documentary, you're going to love it. Like as it gets, you're like an hour in, you're like, I can't believe I'm still watching this. And then something epic happens. You're like, oh, gosh, I can't believe this is still going on. It's awesome.
The Alpine slide was the site of the first fatality of the park. 19-year-old George Larson Jr. was thrown from the slide when his car jumped the track and his head struck a rock. And several days in a coma, he died.
Oh.
He was a park employee.
Oh. Oh.
It's terrible, man.
But because he was an employee, his death did not need to be reported to state regulators.
Oh.
Why are we laughing about
this? It's the good old days, man. Just in the good old days, you get away with this stuff.
Yeah, that's what. Those were the good old days. Park employees flying off the track, not reporting the deaths.
God, I want this place to be open still. You know, I mean, if you're in New Jersey, why not?
Right. Hey, look, you came for action. Right. You got action.
You got action. Yeah. Oh, my God. By the way,
to take over Wild Waves, we got to take over Wild Waves and make it a death trap like Action Park.
By the way, the Action Park Gladiator Challenge, that's what they modeled the television show American Gladiators off of. So they even had one of those.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, where you have like
the cargo net,
yeah. And you swing or whatever, try to get rid of that.
Steve, was there ever a yoked up dude shooting tennis balls at you?
I think his name was Nitro, actually. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Okay. Well, I learned something new today.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank God they did have a mini golf course, so there was at least one safe spot in the entire place.
That's probably where my mom and her girlfriends went. Like, they're like, we're going to play mini golf. You boys try not to kill yourselves.
But oh, now with landmines.
Oh, Jesus. The super speed boats were set up in a small pond known by park staff to be heavily infested with snakes.
Jesus.
They could be driven to 40 miles an hour. 40 miles an hour in a small pond. One seriously inebriated rider had to be rescued by an attendant lifeguard after his boat capsized following a collision. Oh, deaths on that, too. Jeez, a whiz. Action Park.
Action Park didn't mess around.
Action. Oh, God darn.
That lived up to the name. That's for sure, man.
But that being said, would you not want to go check this place out?
Yes.
I would have to.
Yes. I'm going to go home and watch the documentary this weekend.
I know.
For sure.
I can't wait to hear what you think about it.
That's awesome. That is crazy.
Wow.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Father's Day. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thank you. Take care. You guys, too.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Wow.
Jesus. Action Park. Good or bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-ROCK. This is amazing.
That is... Did we not have any safety regulations in the 80s or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's funny that Alice in Chains took over the park and did a headbanger's ball there.
I'm sure they're proud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the death trap.
I wonder if they remember Action Park.
That's what it is, Ted.
James,
welcome to the men's room.
Yeah.
Morning, you guys.
Hola.
So, well, just fun fact before I tell my story. My dad actually went to Action Park and broke his collarbone on the cannonball.
Wait a minute. Oh, which one?
The cannonball loop.
Cannonball loop.
Oh,
yeah.
That Steve wasn't allowed to go in.
Yeah, that's the one that had the loop in it.
That's the one that ripped the head off of the dummy.
That's correct. Yes. Jesus. Riders were weighed, hosed down with cold water, and instructed to remove jewelry, and then giving specific careful instructions on how to have their body to complete the ride. To complete the ride.
Right, complete it. You can start it, but to finish it, follow these instructions.
I also just love the idea that at no point do they go, maybe we should shut this one down.
But nah. Just keep it going.
Anyway, so when I was 5 years old, I got bumped into a box that had two yellow jacket nests in it when I was playing with my German Shepherd.
All right.
At the time, my dog was pretty much like a close best friend to me. He started attacking the bees, got like about 40 of them within his throat, and they started stinging inside his throat. So I had to make a tough decision with my family to agree with my family to put him down, essentially saving his life so he wouldn't suffer.
Damn.
Oh, that's
a
positive
up.
Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, a whiz, man.
I was laughing at the dead people at Action Park, but that one made me sad.
Yeah, your story's sadder than Action Park by leaps and bounds.
Good or bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ruth. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, okay, so, short story long, my daughter, when she was 7 months old, I took her to the boob doctor.
To the what? Boob doctor?
The doctor that did boobs.
Wait, how
I
old
did,
did you...
I really did.
She was seven months old.
Okay, well, let me clarify. The doctor thought this doctor was removing tattoos from gangsters, but he wasn't. He was a boob doctor.
And you said you're...
So,
okay.
Tattoos or boobs. I don't know that it's seven. That either of those are on my radar.
Well, okay. So then, really... Okay, so what he was doing for my daughter was, this is Ruth, removing her extra fingers.
Oh, that's right. You called us before, Ruth.
And And yes, and so the part I forgot to tell you about, well, I mean, of course, so my daughter had 12 fingers.
Yeah,
so
we
had
everybody in your family had
your
12
whole
fingers.
Family.
Yeah, we remember. You went through the entire lineage for 400 years. You're the 12-fingered family.
Right. So anyways, what I forgot to tell you about, though, was my almost 3-year-old. She was days away from being 3 years old. She was in the other room with the receptionist. So she's telling the receptionist, my sister's getting her fingers cut off. And all she could hear is her 7-month-old sister crying. And so they kept giving her cookies because they felt so sorry for her.
Okay, so you're responsible for getting your kids' extra fingers cut off.
Well, don't worry, but right, I preserved them also, of course.
Oh, I know, you saved them.
We didn't want to be strange.
Right, exactly.
I preserved them, of course, they're on the fridge.
Of course.
That's what's on my fridge.
Christ.
Ruth, let me ask you this.
They are in a jar, and they're in embalming fluid.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I
wish I hadn't.
You have all these people in your family have so many extra fingers.
Wait.
You keep saving them. How many fingers do you have in a jar in your fridge?
I only have 2 because my daughter wouldn't let me keep my grandbaby's extra fingers. Well, one of them got lost. And
oh,
then
of course.
One of
I mean,
them,
they always do.
Well, one of them got lost before she went to have surgery. And so it came off. And the other one...
It came off?
That one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it fell off. Just fell off.
And then the other one she had removed. My daughter was awake when she was removed, but she had her surgically put out. And then my other grandbaby, she's got 2 extra fingers and a half an extra toe. So she has 10 and a half. So she's got 1 big toe, has half a toe, like on the side of it.
Let me ask you this, Ruth. We were talking earlier, you know, when babies are born, they do those foot and hand prints. Did they do that with yours?
Oh, Mia. I don't know, Mia. Holler loud enough. She's pretty loud, the mama. I don't know if she did.
Okay. All right.
Maybe they did because it freaked them out.
You know what? That's a good question. I'll call you back on that one.
Okay, yeah, give us an update. Give us an update.
Yeah, let Mike know.
I want to see if you got
like looking forward to it.
No, we need to have like the Ruth update music.
Yeah.
I believe Polydactyl is what her family is.
Can anyone top that?
Good or
bad, what were you responsible for doing? 206-421-ROCK.
What the hell has happened today?
I don't know.
Action Park. Got Ruth calling in.
She should have sent her kids to Action Park. They'd lose fingers all on their own.
Yeah, just go on the Alpine slide.
She picked right back up from the last time she called.
Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys. How's it going?
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, I've got one where I saved a life when I was a junior lifeguard when I was a kid.
Nice. All right. How old were you?
I was 12 at the time.
Okay, that's very cool. That's pretty young to be certified, first of all.
Would you feel comfortable?
As a junior lifeguard, you can get certified any time, but I was a huge surfer, and I used to go to San Diego for the summer to spend with my brother.
Ah, okay. So you didn't do a lifeguard leap. You probably all just dived in, right?
Pretty much. What happened was I was rollerblading on the beach, came up, and saw a guy boogie boarding and saw a surfer. And anybody who knows, surfers can be very territorial of their waves.
Yeah.
And he was being kind of a jerk, and he pretty much took his surfboard and went right into the guy's inner thigh.
Jesus.
He made it to shore, and I could see what happened, and I ran right to him, and I immediately said, I'm a junior lifeguard at this station. And I said, let me help you. And I could see what was going on. Thank goodness the blood was still dark, so it wasn't like a bright red. If it was a bright red, he would have hit an artery. So I knew what to do and I actually learned it off of MacGyver. I took my belt buckle and I actually turned it into a tourniquet, tightened it up on his inner thigh, and I kept my hands pressed down on his thigh. And I told another person called 911, say junior lifeguard, my number, and then pretty much waited there until medical treatment got there.
Damn.
Medical treatment showed up, and then what I did was I said, I'm junior lifeguard this, and they said, okay, I can't move or he's going to just bleed out. And they said, okay, you're going to follow us, go into the thing. And then they pretty much did the exact same response as they were supposed to do. The treatment guys go like this. Say, junior lifeguard, are you ready to release? I said, yes. And then automatically they switched right off. I got a phone call the next day at my station saying that he didn't lose his leg and he also didn't lose his life.
Damn. Did this surfer, did he come out of the water and check on this guy?
No, the surfer didn't even care. He literally just told the guy to get off his way. Like, he did not give a crap.
Damn.
They realize it's an ocean. I mean, I understand you surf and you have this claim, but you don't actually have a claim. You just have an opinion about where you'd like to be. You know what I mean?
It is. Those surfers are crazy. The locals. Have you seen this stuff in Hawaii? What's it, the North Shore or whatever?
Oh, they'll tell you, like, don't even show up at our beach.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they don't even want you on the beach, much less the water.
Damn.
But come on, man. I mean, look, we all have our moments of anger, but I can't imagine just trying to kill someone because the affront that they have done is that they're in the goddamn the Pacific Ocean, being the largest one on the planet, but they're on my wave. Come on.
Coming up, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC, and we've got your emails on the way from the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.